On the 11th of September, 1874, the Eastern Daily Press headline read, "Appalling railway accident at Thorpe, 15 people killed and 30 or 40 injured." It recorded that there had been a head-on collision between two trains on the Norwich to Yarmouth line behind the Three Tuns pub in Thorpe, today known as the Rushcutters Arms. The report went on to say that the two trains involved were the 8:40 p.m. mail train from Yarmouth, which had been coupled only minutes before at Reedham with carriages from Lowestoft, and the late-running express train from London to Yarmouth via Norwich, Thorpe Station. The report went on, quote, "The engines, when they met, must have reared up into an almost perpendicular position, and the carriages mounted one on top of the other and gradually sunk down into an almost inconceivable mass of rubbish and ruins." Unquote. That night, there was torrential rain and very strong winds, and a later eyewitness report described, quote, "The noise of the crushing carriages, the roaring of the steam, and the cries of the injured and uninjured, heard amid the thunder and lightning, were beyond belief. A large number of gentlemen and inhabitants ran to the spot, while rain poured down, loud peals of thunder rolled around, and there were repeated flashes of lightning." In fact, the death toll proved to be 26, which was the largest ever loss of life for a train accident in England up to that date, although later in the same year, 34 people died in another accident at Shipton-on-Cherwell. The two trains were fully laden with 100 passengers in each, and considering that, it was fortunate that the death toll was not greater. Some 70 passengers were recorded as injured, and 100 walking wounded made their way along the Yarmouth Road into the city. All sections of local society had been travelling that night. They included William Bransby, a physician and pioneering photographer, looking forward to his imminent retirement, and the well-known city draper and tailor of Dove Street, George Womack. Among the less prominent citizens were the sad cases of Susan Brown and Jane Ann Faulkner. Susan was an unmarried seamstress, poorly paid, and working 18-hour shifts in poorly lit workshops. Jane Ann, born illegitimate, lost her mother at the age of 5 and worked as a charwoman. She lay for several hours at the scene before being taken to hospital, but died 6 weeks later from sepsis. Perhaps the most distressing story is that of the Betts family. John Betts was a railway stoker on a rare day off work who had taken his wife and two sons, one only 6 weeks old, to Yarmouth to celebrate the older son's 3rd birthday. Elizabeth Betts and the baby died instantly. John had a fractured skull and was knocked unconscious, but 3-year-old Charles was miraculously dragged from the wreckage with only a scalp wound. The press became fascinated by this family story, publishing numerous bulletins over the following days while John's life hung in the balance. On September the 15th, he died in the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital. Charles was taken in by his maternal grandparents and was raised in Lakenham as their own. Why did this catastrophe occur and who was responsible? The truth was to be found inside the telegraph operator's small office at Thorpe Station, where there had been disagreements and misunderstandings about the late running of the London Express. The young telegraph operator, John Robson, was also distracted by friends sheltering in his office from the persistent rain. Robson and Alfred Cooper, the night inspector, were accused of carelessness and neglect, and in April 1875, they were tried in the Shire Hall on a joint charge of manslaughter. The jury was unable to agree on a verdict, and Robson walked free. But Cooper was convicted of manslaughter and sentenced to 8 months hard labour in the county jail inside Norwich Castle. Many consider the sentence to be too lenient. It's good to be able to record, however, that this terrible disaster had one good result, which has saved hundreds of lives over the decades. As a direct result, a renowned engineer called Edward Tyer devised the electric train tablet system for single-track railways, which was patented some 4 years later. It was called a tablet system because it used metal discs called tablets. When a train driver needed to enter a single-line section, he would request the tablet from the station master at the starting point, which indicated that he had permission to be on the line. When he reached the end of his single section, he gave the tablet to the station master at that end, who then sent an electric signal to the other end to indicate that the line was clear again, ensuring that only one train could be on a single-line section at a time, preventing head-on collisions. The system was widely used in Britain and other countries across the world, including New Zealand, where it remained in operation until 1994. And there is one railway in Scotland which still uses it today. With my thanks to an article by Phyllida Scrivens for most of the information in this feature.
Thank you, Richard.